There are more than 13,000 children and caregivers in Michigan's foster care system. Yesterday, the public policy organization, Michigan's Children, held a forum called Raising the Voices of Caregivers from the Foster Care System, and that took place at the state capitol. Well, there we had parents and lawmakers and others. They got together to work on improving a system that some feel doesn't function as well as it should. Our next guests were there and will help us learn about the challenges being faced by the state in the months and in the years to come. Michelle Corey is Vice President of Programs with Michigan's Children. And Michelle, welcome to Current State.
Thanks for having me.
Delight to have you here. Also with us, joining us, is Representative Jim Runstad, a White Lake Republican who has not only worked on foster care issues in Michigan, he's a participant. Representative Runstad has adopted a child from foster care. Good to have you.
Thank you, Sue. I'm glad to be here.
It's a real pleasure because I appreciate that you've seen the system from several different perspectives. You know, we often hear about the failures of the foster care system. Before we start looking for solutions, maybe we can talk about the biggest challenges that are facing the system. We have vulnerable kids sometimes put in the wrong hands, or caregivers want to be there but really aren't up to the job of shepherding them through the system. What are the biggest problems facing everybody involved in Michigan's foster care system? And Representative Runstad, let's start with you on that answer.
Well, it was a very informative meeting that we had, and we got to hear from quite a few foster care parents. In the past, Michigan's Children and I have sponsored some programs that were allowing the children who were aging out of foster care to speak, and it was kind of a interesting contrast to hear how the foster care children have one perspective and the foster care parents have another perspective. But a lot of what I heard yesterday was lack of services and lack of knowledge about what was available. A lot of parents that were paying out-of-pocket costs for things that really should be covered by the system. A lot of frustration about trying to get information. It was something similar to what kids would say in terms of them trying to get information, but some specifics were different. These foster care parents were such a caring, loving group of individuals who simply wanted to make a difference in the lives of kids, but oftentimes couldn't get the right health care. The health care card that they had wasn't portable across the state of Michigan, so they would have to pick up costs on their own. There was just a lot of issues where they weren't getting reimbursement for transportation months and months and months after they were supposed to have received that that reimbursement. So it just was a great opportunity to hear from these parents and what their issues are and allow the legislators to begin crafting some legislation, hopefully to rectify some of these problems.
You know, you've pointed out a whole system of challenges and barriers. And Michelle Corey, let me ask you, as your position as Vice President of Programs with Michigan's Children, does that correlate? Does that really match up with your experience as well?
Absolutely. I think that there have been a lot of initiatives and other things that have taken place in Michigan around the foster care system. And part of what's happened over the years, and Representative Runstad knows this well, too, from his former county commissioner role, I would assume as well, is that there's been some real disinvestment of state dollar in the foster care system that has, I think, led to a lot of what we've heard, as Representative Runstad said, from young people over the years and from caregivers yesterday. It was such an important pace in the conversation yesterday to really hear directly from a group of people that talked a lot about how they didn't know enough. They didn't know enough about how trauma impacted the kids that they were caring for. They didn't have an immediate access to the kinds of services that they needed. Many of them talked a little bit about how once they had adopted children or if they were providing guardian, they were grandparents, family members that were caring for children, not having the same kind of access to services for them. They talked a lot about needing services early and consistently.
And these are problems, frankly, that we've known about for a long time. I mean, clearly a decade, a quarter century, maybe even longer. How did we get to this point where it becomes a persistent pattern?
I think that part of what has happened has been that we know, while it has been a problem that we've known about for a long time, I think we learn more and more all the time. We learn more and more about how the early experiences of kids impact them later. We learn more and more about how our systems either succeed or fail to address that kind of impact. We learn more and more about what parents and other people involved really need to understand and know. We certainly have been through more than a decade of disinvestment in certainly child abuse prevention services, services for families before they come to head and children are removed. We rely almost entirely on federal funding for our child welfare system. We have a current Congress, you know, we have things going on right now about not being able to pass a budget and not reauthorizing critical programs. So that's a problem
sure.
as well.
Sure. Representative Runstad, in this era of downsizing government or the desire to downsize government, where does the hope lie for making sure that this population, that these 13,000, both the children and the caregivers, get the kind of support and need that they require?
Well, that's what we were trying to identify at this function that we had yesterday, what kind of resources might we need to allocate, but also, is there things we could be doing that are not going to cost additional money? And I remember from conversations we had with the children that were aging out of foster care, a lot of times it was lack of knowledge about what was available. Well, that shouldn't be a big cost item to make sure that they are aware of what's available. That was the same complaint we heard from foster care parents, that there are actually programs that are available. They didn't know how to access them. They weren't getting enough information. So I think creating some kind of an ombudsman in different areas in the state for foster care parents to call if they have a complaint about the system or they are not getting services that they need for their children, that we could streamline that process. They felt that they were ensnarled in a bureaucracy and couldn't get answers. So those kinds of things, maybe just having a proper system in place to direct those foster care parents to the services or make sure they know who to contact would be helpful.
Yeah, information is critical, but it's a big hill to climb to get to those services, isn't it?
It sure is, and then there were some changes that maybe we need to make. There was complaints, like I said, about not being able to get insurance statewide, so if they were on one part of the state or the other, they may have to pick up an out-of-pocket cost that they weren't reimbursed for. So there's a lot of issues that we heard that maybe we can work on with that are not going to be a cost. There was a huge concern about a focus on getting a fee for adoption and that different agencies wouldn't work with one another because they wanted to claim credit in order to get this adoption fee. And some things like that are maybe just some policy things that we can work on to improve. So, you know, I took page after page after page of
Is your hand tired after writing all the notes? Yeah.
It was a great experience. Right. I mean, listening to the issues and the passion and the love and caring and concern these parents, these foster parents have for these children, it was just very inspiring and heartbreaking at the same time to listen to some of the issues they have. But I think with Michigan's Children, with a number of legislators that were there, I know Tom Hooker, the chair of Children, Families, Seniors was there, and this is a big issue for him. I think that we're going to be able to work with various legislators to craft some good legislation that can rectify some of the problems.
Well, I know a lot of people will be watching carefully. By the way, we're talking about Michigan's foster care system with State Representative Jim Runstad and Michelle Corey of Michigan's Children. Can you share with us, Representative, your own personal foster care story? Because I understand you have adopted a child through the system.
I did, and my wife and I were at a point in our lives where our children were older and were off kind of doing their own thing, and we love children. We wanted to see if we could make a difference, and so we went through the training. I expressed in the hearing the experience I had that I thought my training was actually pretty good. A lot of the individuals expressed concern that they didn't think the training prepared them for what they were going to encounter. I actually had a pretty good group. There was about 12 of us trained, and there was two or three individuals that were foster care parents for many, many years, and they had the experience to be able to convey to the rest of us what our challenges would be. And I felt it was very informative. And
you walked away with some sense of what was going to happen next then, right?
Yes, and that was entirely from these foster parents who had been in the system for many, many years. Not only were they able to prepare us for some of the challenges we would have working with these children, but also some of the challenges within the system. And I really appreciated that the training, the staff allowed those very frank and open conversations to occur. I didn't feel like anything was censored. They were allowed to say, here's the issues we see with the foster care system, so that we weren't hit with enormous surprises and challenges coming out of the training. However, I heard a lot of parents say that was not their experience at our event yesterday.
Let me turn to Michelle for just a minute and ask what kind of training you think is necessary and what kind of training you're involved in, because that's an important piece of this, as I hear you, Representative. So, Michelle, what do you do?
Well, Michigan's Children is just a policy agency. So what our role in this is really just trying to raise the status of the issue and raise some information about the issue. I have to hand it to Representative Runstad and Representative Hooker, Representative Hovey Wright, Senator Stamos. There were legislators in the room yesterday, and I saw them taking copious notes. I saw that they are enormously committed to trying to move things forward. I also have to say that without exception, every single family that testified yesterday talked about the need for more opportunity to interact with other parents, with other people who had moved through the system. And as Jim had said, Representative Runstad had said, that I think that a lot of that kind of thing takes place in certain areas of the state, but not everywhere. And so part of what we need to do is really make sure that there's access to parents, access to guardians, access to these folks all over the state for people who are trying to come into the system, trying to navigate their way. And I just have to say that a couple of the groups that were also involved in the hearing yesterday, the Michigan Statewide Foster, Adoptive, and Kinship Family Coalition, is a group of those parents really trying to figure out at a statewide level if there are ways to better assist families within the system. The Kinship Care, Michigan Kinship Coalition, there were huge issues raised in terms of the services available to grandparents and relatives raising children. I think we're just scratching the surface of that conversation.
So we've discovered, if I hear you correctly, through these conversations, just a whole range of things from a speedier response from the government, from information, from training. I understand, just on one final point, Representative Runstad, that dealing with income tax returns is also an issue. Can you give us a very quick synopsis of that?
Yes, foster care parents who were entitled to take the income tax deduction would file for it and then find out that the biological parent had also filed, even though they were not entitled, and there was absolutely nothing done to that biological parent who was illegally taking that credit. And then the IRS would send a notice to the foster care parent who was legally entitled to that. You can't, because it's already been taken. And you know, just issues like that, mm-hmm. that I was so happy to be able to hear what is going on so that we can begin getting this message to maybe Congress, to other legislators, to start working on some of these issues. We spend millions of dollars to try to recruit foster care parents, and then we lose them on the back end if we don't make sure that we're doing the right thing by them.
I'm so thankful that you had the forum yesterday and that your work continues, because it sounds like it's a pretty big vineyard out there. Thanks to both of you. Representative Jim Runstad, a Republican from White Lake, and Michelle Corey, Vice President of Programs with Michigan's Children. Thank you so much both for joining us on Current State.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You.